This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Saturday, April 11th, 2020, The Easter Vigil, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And He is. He sent His Son to die for us, and His Son was risen the third day for our salvation. He has gone to make a place for us. This should elicit a tremendous amount of joy within us, and it should be the catalyst for our giving thanks to the Lord, for He is good. This has been a tremendously heartrending triduum for me, and I know for others. I say, and I hate being right about things like this, but I say, if we don't do enough penance, God will put some on us. He has done this with all of us. He has done it with me in spades this Lent. I should have been looking forward to this festival day. I'm not. I don't. It's not festive. It is a miserable day. It is wretchedly unhappy. I think to myself of what our Lord did this day, the prayers at the lighting of the Paschal candle tonight, said that at the command of Scripture that we are to gather together to celebrate this night. And we're not gathered together. It is a miserable and wretched, unhappy situation. I actually asked our musician if he had planned to play what we play every Easter, Hail Ye Festival Day. And he said, yes, that was the plan. I directed him that he will not, because it is not festive. There's nothing happy about it. Something so glorious that our Lord has given us, and we, and I don't mean we, I mean we who wear collars, who have been given the keys of the kingdom, are not using them. It should rip the guts out of everyone who wears a collar, and I hope it does. The Scriptures, God's Word, the traditions of our church, says we are gathered together, and we don't because we might get sick. I do not see that caveat there. We must be prudent, but prudent is not just stopping everything. It is sad. Today, the psalm reading. I opened this and you heard sung the Alleluia. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has always been good, He is good, and He will always for eternity be good. It's not good like we think about it. It's a good that is who He is. It's His essence. St. Robert Bellarmine says about this verse of Psalm 117, if you use an older version of the Bible, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Robert Bellarmine says, nothing more brief and at the same time more sublime could be said of Him. For God alone can be said to be intrinsically good, and it is such goodness only that deserves to be praised. God is intrinsically good. We do good things every now and then, if we're in union with Christ. And as we become more and more in union with Christ, we can have the ability to do more and more good things. But we are not intrinsically good. God is intrinsically good. It is, as I said, His essence. It is His nature to be good. And it's not just a matter of looking and going, oh, God's good. Everything that He does, all of His works are good. Even these. I've said several times since this has been going on that from a temporal point of view, this looks really bad, but there is a spiritual good to come of it. And there is. But this Triduum has opened my heart to the fact that this is not only temporally bad, it is spiritually bad. It should rip your spiritual guts out. And I hope it does. I hope everybody that will see this will understand that. We give thanks to God for being good. In the Roman Catechism, God's goodness is spoken of in the Our Father. It's something that we know by heart. Sometimes we know it too well because we don't think about what we're saying. How it starts out, Our Father, who art in heaven. Why does he start it out? Why not Almighty and most merciful God who is so unchangeable and do all those other theological things that apply to God? No, Our Father. Why? Because the fathers are what they are supposed to be. They are good. And they are good to us. They care for us. That's why God wants us to refer to Him as our Father. God's care for us is seen in the love He has ever shown man, as the Catechism says. When a father has to punish his child, that child should in no way, shape, or form think, wow, something good should come of this. They should feel the sting, literally and figuratively on occasion, of their father's justice. We do that now. This is why. This is a miserable day. We are in time out, so to speak. It's horrible. However, we can never think that he's not being attentive, just like we shouldn't have thought that about our fathers who chastise us as we were growing up. We should think, as the Catechism says, to imagine that God has forgotten us would be an act of folly and nothing short of a most outrageous insult. He goes on to say that it is nothing less than a criminal notion to think that God has forgotten us. God has not. It is a criminal notion to think so. There are scriptural examples of that. Exodus 17. God became wrathful, indignant to the people of Israel because they said, and I quote, "They tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?' They were thirsty. They were hungry. Manna wasn't good enough for them. Is Lord with us or not?" He showed them that he was with them through chastisement. Ezekiel chapter 8. The Lord's indignation is raised again from the people who complain and do evil in his sight. And it says, "The Lord seeth us not. The Lord has forsaken the earth." He proved them different. We have to understand that this goodness of God is, as I said, intrinsic. It is who He is. God, from the get-go, Adam and Eve, they always say, if I was God, I would have turned the place to glass and started all over. He did it in 6 days. He could have destroyed it in one and then taken 6 more days to do it again. And then maybe people would have listened to him when he gave them one thing to do and they couldn't. Our Lord didn't turn the place to glass, and it didn't even keep chastising Adam and Eve. They were chastised in a most horrendous way. In Genesis 3, we are told that when God found them and they were naked, he gave them a litany of things that he was going to do to punish them for what had happened. But at the end of it, it says, "And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them." He did not send them off to punishment unaided. He actually comforted them. This is how good he is. The Catechism sums this up. And it says about his mercy, starting with Genesis 3, and now us. It says, and I quote, "And thus precisely does it happen at the very moment when we imagine ourselves to be utterly lost. Then it is that God, in his infinite goodness, seeks us out in a special way and takes care of us. Even in his anger, he stays his sword of justice and ceases not to pour out the inexhaustible treasures of his mercy." This is supposed to hurt now, temporally and spiritually. Make no mistake about it, it's supposed to. What do we do about that? What did we do when our earthly fathers punished us? We wanted to apologize so bad because we wanted it to stop. We wanted to show him that we had learned our lesson. I wish I had a dime for every time I heard from both mom and dad, "Have you learned your lesson? Have we learned our lesson?" We must seek and ask for God's mercy. Seek and ask for it. This just does not mean sitting on our hands and praying about this and watching videos of masses, seeing pictures. We need to seek and ask for his mercy. And I always say, words really mean nothing. It is what we do to show him that we are seeking and asking his mercy. It is called that sackcloth and ashes that we read about. It is our Lord fasting for 40 days in the desert before his earthly ministry started. It was him sweating blood and praying to his Father in the garden, "If there be any way, take this chalice from me, but not my will, your will be done." When he was hanging on the cross, to say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But remaining on that cross, we need to humble ourselves by actions. I do not say this as a direction, but it is a suggestion. And I never suggest or direct people to do the things I have not or would not or am not going to do myself. Until this suppression of the public masses is lifted, I am going to continue my Lenten disciplines. I am not going to stop. I don't care if they go 2, 3, 6 months the rest of the year. I'm not going to stop my Lenten disciplines. In this parish, the recorded masses, which I struggled tremendously with even doing it, because my initial thought was not to do it, because I don't want people to have in any way, shape, or form the consideration that things are sort of okay. We get to watch it on TV. That is nothing. I kind of think that people might kind of get a little bit hot and bothered if they weren't watching masses on television. If everything was just shut down. If you're going to do it, do it. Half measures aren't going to get it in this. But I said I considered that. The Sensus Fidelium. Clerics should listen to the people sometime. And I heard by a bunch of different people that they would appreciate that. So I said, okay. All right. It's obvious that the Holy Spirit working through the people of God taught me something. So we have recorded masses. However, yesterday at the Good Friday services, when everything was dark and it was solemn, I was sitting here yesterday and I thought, this is the way it should look. This is the way it should be. Stark, no music, nothing. From henceforth, every recorded mass that will be viewed from this place, there will not be a processional hymn. There will not be a recessional hymn. We will enter this place somberly, and we will leave it somberly until the suspension of public masses is lifted. That is our sackcloth and ashes. It is a demonstration to God that we know things are wretched right now. We should appreciate that. We should not hear platitudes about, I feel so bad for you because of this, and I feel our separation from... We need to start doing things about it and not saying things about it. This is what we need to do. As I said, I don't direct you to continue your Lenten disciplines. I always look so forward to Saturday evening after this Mass. I usually make myself sick eating when I get home. It's not going to happen this year. And as I said, my Lenten disciplines will stay in place until this is over. We need to humble ourselves before God. We need to stop playing like things are okay. They're bad, because everybody could get Jesus Christ. It's the law. It was the law in our Lord Jesus Christ day that you didn't get near a leper. That was the law. And when a leper asked our Lord Jesus Christ to cure him, Jesus didn't say, keep your social distance and I'll pray for you, because he could have done that. But what did he do? He went over and laid his hands on that leper. This is who we are. This is what we are supposed to do. We've got to prove something to him. We need to prove that we are humble before his chastisements. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.